Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
And welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
Fever!
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Pete Donaldson and his England kit's here.
It's a feast of football.
Welcome, good friends. Welcome indeed. Much to talk about today. Much to leave that badge alone.
I just put coffee on it, licked the coffee off the three lions.
Really? I don't know if that's respectful or disrespectful.
I'm going to.
It's good. The Kenyan coffee together with the three lions.
Yeah.
With Pete doing it, I'm going to fall down on the side of the fence into the garden marked disrespectful.
Yeah. And being led up the garden path there, no doubt.
I am like a greyhound straining at the leash to talk about Portugal-Spain.
Yeah. So we've got so much to get through before
get
that.
Get all that stuff out of the way. Yeah. Do it now.
Can we first, I can't start the show without talking about Didier Drogba's hair. We've just seen it on the television. Yes. It's like, I don't know what to think about it. It looks so smooth.
Does it
he
scare
looks so
you?
Different. It's changed the entire contour of his face. I don't know what to do with his information. It's going to ruin my whole day.
Do you know what? His head's bigger than I think we realised, isn't it? Also, it's sort of perfectly smooth, but it looks like a glitch in the Matrix.
Jim, I'm going to say...
That man hasn't been rendered properly.
Jim, I'm going to say... He looks like a regen of himself.
Yeah.
Jim, I'm going to say... I'm going to use the words buttery smooth. His head looks very smooth.
That's something we've talked about. I recently upgraded the RAM in the studio computer, and I've been saying it's buttery smooth, and everyone's been giggling. It is buttery smooth, and his head looks buttery smooth.
Presumably, if the butter's not been in the fridge for too long,
that
can be quite hard.
A spreadable butter, as you know, the spreadable ones are blended with olive oil,
of course,
to make them more spreadable.
Is that right? How they got buttery? Yeah. My nan used to have a what do you call it? Like a little butter
dish,
but with a little cover on it, and the butter used to be so soft,
very
soft, and rotten, instantly rotten.
Shouldn't keep butter in the fridge,
apparently not,
unless it's particularly hot, of course, and then it'll just become a big melty mess.
I feel we're becoming sidetracked.
It'll adopt its liquid form, Marcus.
Look, you wanted to talk about Portugal versus Spain. Before that, though, there's been a glaring omission from these ranks, and we always like to have a Marcus in there. Well, of course, when I say we, I do mean the general public of... Why limit it to Great Britain?
No, why? No. Why would you?
Mystic Marcus, everyone's favourite Derbyshire-based future-predicting pig, is back.
Oh, fuck.
Yes, you did hear that right. Now, let me just give new listeners, we need to do a better job at
inviting
behind
the
curtain.
Stay with us, new listeners.
New listeners, this is obviously a great story on its own merit. I think we can all agree. But Pete...
It's Trevor McDonald going, and finally...
Yeah, but Pete opposite me has got a, shall we say, checkered track record at adopting positively future-predicting animals.
Every...
Paul the Octopus.
...tournament. It kicked off with Paul the Octopus.
2010.
Don't have a go at Paul. I'm not having you
well,
on the Paul.
So don't speak ill of the dead.
Is he dead? They live forever, don't they?
No, they're not two or three years.
What, no. Octopus? No. Yes.
Really?
No.
Yes, they only live a few years.
They're so delicious.
No, that's a good thing.
That's why they only live a couple of years, because Donnie's going round hoovering them up.
Fairly certain.
He's walking through Chinatown.
Ages.
Chuck out your octopi.
Apparently, the giant Pacific octopus lives between 3 and 5 years.
Which is so short.
It's a good thing, though, because they're terrifying. And if they ever sort of, you know,
live long enough, they'd work stuff out, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I just don't think the Lord our God Cthulhu should be involved in choosing what happens in football.
So, Marcus, what do you think about...
You remember Paul the Octopus, of course.
Paul the Octopus. He would
choose... Marcus predicted... and he's just not limited to football.
Use his full name.
Mystic Marcus.
Thank you.
we are one together, the Marcuses of this world.
The Marci.
The Marcus Union. Predicted Brexit and the American election results.
I mean, very 50-50 on both of those.
Yeah, can I just say, by the way, on that, and you put that in there. Now, when Brexit happened, they weren't saying that.
Yeah.
It's not like he's not claimed that at the time.
Yeah, well, he's not big-headed.
He's backfilled the narrative is what he's done.
Mystic Marcus is not big-headed. If it's his owner. I think so much as he predicted, they thought, we can't just hide this under a bushel anymore.
So much has he predicted.
He predicted.
It's like the town crier.
He predicted the winner of Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Predicted that Derby County wouldn't get promoted.
50-50.
All right, well, how about this? His current prediction is for all four semi-finalists at this year's World Cup. I think the road ends here.
How did he do that?
Well, he was presented with 32 apples set out in a circle, each with a national flag stuck in it, and the four he ate would be the ones. Belgium, Uruguay, Argentina and Nigeria.
Yeah, but they can't all get to the semis, can they?
Can I just say, Jim, I would like to see the video and just check if his handler, after the fourth apple... Whether he wanted to eat another one, because I reckon he probably did. There's only four.
It's funny you say that, because Juliet Stevens, who's our owner, said for one football match, he didn't eat any of the apples, and it turned out to be a draw. It's really bizarre.
How has this woman got on the news?
I don't know. But in Russia, the psychic cat Achilles predicted that Russia would beat Saudi Arabia, whereas Spartak the Lima wrongly predicted that the Saudis would win. So there you
now,
are,
Spartak the Lima.
Spartak the Lima. I'm very much... I would like to revise
the one who got it wrong. Pete's interested in.
It's got a tail.
No, Pete's very, very, very interested. He's got a track record of this. Very interested in their primates.
And yeah, always lemurs, they're toon primates, basically, aren't they? Yeah. The Newcastle United primates, that's what they are.
They're true, actually, yeah. Away are the lemurs.
Away are the lemurs.
Yesterday we witnessed one of the greatest World Cup matches in our time.
You might notice a marked improvement in my mood on this session, because, my God, the World Cup has started well, hasn't it?
It was absolutely magnificent.
It was phenomenal.
Portugal 3, Spain 3, not... Iran 1, Morocco 0, of course. We're talking about... Ronaldo had a lovely time, didn't he?
Knuckle on that free kick. Knuckle till Tuesday. Pig-knuckled.
I was saying
Marcus the pig-knuckled it.
Mystic Marcus.
I was saying to Jim before we came on that, like, you know, we have a little bit of a chuckle at Ronaldo and his hubris, shall we say.
We all do.
And when he says stuff like he said during the regular season, that, you know, I've got the physique of the body of a 23-year-old and stuff, and you think, oh yeah, good stuff, well done, And then you watch that game and you think, he's not lying. Yeah. He is not lying.
Well, you know, two set pieces, one was a keeper error.
Oh, come on.
Did you see his celebration? Stroking his chin thing?
Yeah.
Do you know the meaning of that?
No.
Is that because Messi was pictured with a goat recently, as in greatest of all time?
Yes.
And it's thought to be a reference to that.
That's the only theory I've heard.
I'm loving that. I am loving
if that. That's what it is. Any odds on Messi scoring four today?
Yeah. I love the idea, because part of you would think, well, you know, this idea of who's the greatest of all time and who's the best player, I mean, that's not really for the players to worry about. It's for the fans and the chattering classes to talk about. Ronaldo's very much aware of it. I love it.
He's driving the Ronaldo bus on
Ronaldo and Messi should really swap countries, because Ronaldo is far more the sort of Diego Maradona type. Obviously more behaved, well, as far as we know, off the pitch. And
looks
so on
after
and so
himself
forth.
A little better.
Much better, Jim. But that kind of I'm the greatest, always sort of having a dig at Pelé, Maradona, all that kind of stuff, blah, 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 blah. I think they would get on well.
I don't know, Ronaldo, though, Ronaldo is very much for Ronaldo, whereas Diego Maradona had to win everything against someone else.
Oh,
that
true.
Was when he was at his best.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think Ronaldo is just for Ronaldo when it comes to Portugal, and that's what makes him a bit more endearing. He always feels like, you can always sense that he knows the responsibility, and that he knows perhaps the other players aren't at the level of Real Madrid's players and that kind of stuff. And it was...
I disagree with that partly.
But before we go on to, before we talk about Ronaldo, I think we should really just mention the fact that the game itself was absolutely fantastic.
I thought Diego Costa was magnificent.
Yeah.
He led the nice show well.
At the races.
He was really, really, really good.
All the chat leading up to it was about whether he fits into their system properly and how he struggled and he's not scored a huge amount of goals.
Well, he elbowed Pepe in the build-up to the goal, and I'm pretty sure that the guys who were doing the video assistant referees who were in the booth with their kits on
Just probably looked at that.
Yeah, basically.
That's Pepe.
He deserves that.
Yeah, I'm very much of the opinion, and would like to hear your opinions on the theory that you can't foul Pepe.
Yeah. No. I think it's probably... Without getting too analytical about it, Pepe's got
that's
to be...
That's not our wheelhouse.
Pepe's got to be stronger than that.
Pepe thinks, I'll go down here, we'll get the free kick. And he's gambled and it's not paid off.
You can't, but I don't think you can afford that gamble.
But did he not think, if I don't get it, Jose Font's fine with Diego Costa?
But not with VAR. I mean, you can't get away with that sort of thing nowadays. Yeah. And I think, and this was the first match that I experienced the spectre at the feast, the long shadow that VAR cast, where it was like, oh, was that offside? Was that in? What about that foul on Pepe? It was miserable for that, but it just, the football was so scintillating,
good. Can you imagine
that? I kind of got over it eventually, but it really irked me.
Yeah, I think, you know what? The broadcasters actually have a responsibility to shut up about that.
Yeah.
Because if they weren't talking about that, we wouldn't have been aware of it.
Yeah.
And it does feel like it drags the pace of the game. Yeah.
There was a
it?
Moment, though, where I thought, are they going to disallow that Diego Costa goal? And will Diego Costa let them? Is what I thought.
It's such a risk from Pepe, isn't it?
Really,
if you're going to sort of play that kind of...
You've got to be stronger. You can't play... Look, Pepe's had a great career. And I think, you know, maybe we'll talk about this throughout the tournament, but Portugal have got problems at the back big time. I mean, their centre-back options are poor, and you have to wonder whether it's going to be realistic to let Ronaldo bail them out each time, and it may well be.
Which is what he did.
Yeah, it may well be feasible because he's in such a clinical mood, and of course, Ronaldo is known for someone who shoots a lot, particularly later in his career, but he scored 3 from 4 shots last night, so he's a lot more clinical. But when you're in a situation when you've got those two centre backs playing, I mean, Fonte wasn't good enough for West Ham last season. He's over in China now, I think. And if you're Pepe, you cannot gamble against a player of that quality. And it's funny because
he was genuinely hurt.
Maybe he was. But there's a generation of players now in lots of different positions. And you mentioned Drogba earlier, and I would say he's one of these. They're these players who are really strong and tough, but also really weak at the same time, because they don't know when to draw the line about when to try and win a foul and when not to.
Yeah.
So you get into a situation where someone like Pepe, who I imagine when you play up against him, 5 times out of 10, he's right in your back and he's making it really difficult for you.
And you touch him and he's...
And the other 5, if you come up against him, he just throws himself on the floor. Mm. And I don't think you can afford... I can understand perhaps why a forward would do that to try and win a foul, because he thinks, I've got no one around me, I can't hold the ball up, I'll draw a foul. And we see forwards do that, but there's no risk to that. At the back, you can't do that.
You're right. What was so wonderful about the game? I mean, it's always a big game between
David De Gea's goalkeeping.
It's always a good game between Portugal and Spain, but so much narrative on the pitch, you know, Ronaldo coming up against Nacho and Sergio Ramos and so on and so forth, and obviously Pepe on the other side of Ramos and blah blah blah, but Ronaldo, he won that penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those ones where I thought, has he essentially done the old Robert Pires, you know, and left his leg?
It was a proper, right, let's see what you're made of.
Yeah.
Like, he came out of the blocks and Spain weren't ready for that at all. And it was a penalty, I think. But, you know,
first look for me, it looked like a dive. But when I saw it again, I thought, okay, it's not obvious enough for it to be overturned, for sure.
Well, he asked such a firm question of them. He panicked them.
And what you got, VAR?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because as you say, you know, two of these goals were some set pieces. One was a goalkeeping error. I think looking at that, I saw a few people tweeting saying that Spain was sort of in disarray and this wasn't necessarily the ideal start, and you know, a lot of stuff about the manager, but they scored three goals from open play.
Yeah.
And they're not going to give away a penalty in every game, and De Gea is probably not going to do another one of those. So I think they're in really good shape.
It's one of those odd situations where, because they conceded the goal so late, in normal circumstances you'd think that'll feel like a defeat, but actually they emerged from the game with credit precisely because of what you said. But Portugal looked very... I thought Spain took a while to get going. And I absolutely agree with what you said at the top of this, that it was one of the games for the ages. I mean, it was one of those games where I try and judge a game on how many times it gets me out of my seat. And that game got me out of my seat physically three or four times.
And with this game, it was kind of like a game that didn't really need to be played because both teams would probably top their groups.
Well, we thought it would be cagey. they can't both top the group.
Sorry, you mean as in they'll both go through.
If you think about it, though, you would expect Uruguay, who we'll mention in a bit, to top the group. You'd rather play Egypt or Russia than Uruguay on what we've seen so far.
Absolutely.
So it is important to top that group.
And I was just briefly going to say that it took Spain a while to get going, but Portugal looked absolutely devastating on the break. And if we talk a lot on shows about how Ronaldo's developed his game and become more of a sort of goal-scoring striker, and he's got players around him at Real Madrid and all the rest of it, he was in the vanguard of everything really they did. And he was... His pace on the break at 33 years old is absolutely...
Dina Tarley,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. It is ridiculous. He is leaving other players younger than him for dead. Mm-hmm. He's in such great physical...
Well, you can see how he does it. He saves his energy, doesn't he? And then he bursts.
Yeah.
And there was a few times where, you know, he throws his arms up in the air. And there was that moment where, I forget who he played in, and it would have been, you know...
It was Guedes, wasn't it?
Was it? And he should have done a bit... Well, he should have got his shot away.
He should have just pulled the trigger.
Well, it could have been 2-0. And then, of course, it ends up... It goes 1-1. But Ronaldo kind of was very annoyed and actually could have had a chance at chasing that ball in. But what I would say about Portugal is, I know it's a bit of an obvious thing to say on the basis of what we saw, but he does look like their only real goal threat.
Mm.
I can't see too many other goals from elsewhere. You know, Quaresma, when he came on, you think...
Bernardo Silva.
But
he had a quite game with Bernardo Silva. Yeah. He was sort of pushed out
Understandably,
wide, didn't
perhaps.
Really do an awful lot, got dragged off. Guedes has had a great season at club level, and now he got an assist for one of the goals. He didn't look really that great. I thought Quaresma looked quite likely when he came on, given the scale of opposition he was up against.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, and this will go down in the pantheon of great group games, and you know, of recent years, along with, you know, Australia 2, Netherlands 3 last time around, and there was a 3-2 Argentina Nigeria then as well. Basically all the USA group games in 2014.
And Australia 2, Netherlands 3, I wouldn't have had up there with this one.
They lost 3-2 to the Netherlands, Australia, in an amazing game in the group stage.
I remember Cahill's goal.
Yeah, it was a good game, though.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get at is, I suppose, almost, maybe it's a poor example, but I was trying to go for games that were competitive and great. Not like a 5-0 shellacking like we saw with Russia.
Sure.
What about Slovakia 3, Italy 2 in 2010, for example? I know Italy were almost already out.
I just think this game was end to end. The score was changing, and also the quality of the goal. We haven't even mentioned Nacho.
Oh my god, that was ridiculous. Yeah. That was a absolutely
shinner.
I don't think, even though they went to town on it, I don't think they fully appreciated how difficult technically that goal
was. They didn't have time to analyse, certainly on television. There were so many other things. If you had one game like that where that goal, that was the only goal in the game, you'd be like, oh my god, we've been talking about that for weeks. Yeah. In 2 days, we've had two incredible goals. Actually, three, including the Ronaldo free kick.
We've also had, talking about the tournament being great so far, we've also had no nil-nils. Mm. We've come close, but there've been five goals in the 88th minute or later in four games.
Wow.
Nice.
That's
fantastic.
Until it happens to England later.
So Ronaldo is now on 6 World Cup goals. Miroslav Klose is on 16.
Yeah,
he might play till he's 40.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
What do we think?
That is true.
He'll have his eye on those other two group games, thinking, if I can get a hat trick in both of those.
Santos, the Portugal coach, said after the game, I hope he's available for Qatar. I was like, well, hang on. Yeah. You've got a point.
Yeah.
Let's concentrate on it.
Yeah.
You know, and you might not
still
be the manager.
Chase down Iran.
Because Jose Mourinho might decide to be the Portugal manager for that tournament.
Imagine that.
But I like the bit when Ronaldo just stared down the camera and shouted, your move, Mitro. I've scored 3. Your move, mate.
Well, listen, Portugal play Morocco next, and they're 3-5 to win that with Bet365. So £10 on that will return £16, including stake, should they go ahead and beat Morocco, which you'd imagine they probably will.
What I find incredible about this game, when Spain, especially when they were 3-2 up, they were just passing Portugal to death.
Mm.
And you thought, here we go. Spain have now completely got control. They were knocking it about, and it was fantastic.
They did very well to wrestle.
And yet, Ronaldo, the player who plays in Japan. Japan, Marcus.
Japan, who we will see reasonably soon. But Ronaldo winning that free kick against Pique. You just knew that he thought, as you said a bit earlier, Luke, about he has to dig him out. Gets a chance to win a free kick on the edge of the box. And when he gets that, thank you very much. See you later. We'll have a point. And they will be boyoed from
that. What was Pique doing there? He's probably just at the point where he's like, I'm just sick of this guy. I'm just sick of him. I'm just going to push him over.
Well, his face was a picture, wasn't it?
I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about how long it's taking for free kicks to be taken now. Yeah. I mean, this is something that needs to be looked at, I think. It's not. I've not seen it sort of picked up too much. But for me, you get into the point now where free kicks are taking, direct free kicks, I mean, where you're going to have a shooting opportunity. It's taken a minute, sometimes more than a minute. And we talk about VAR potentially slowing the game down. I know we've got other reasons why VAR is problematic at this point. But to me, it's not acceptable when you've got a game of that quality with the pace and the end-to-end and the back and forward and all that kind of stuff. You get into a situation where the referee blows for a free kick. Everyone complains about it. He explains what the free kick's happening. They put the ball down. He puts the disappearing spray on there. He marches up, does the wall. They don't get into the wall properly. It takes ages. Then it takes about another 10 seconds for the whistle to be blown. And then he takes the free kick. And it's getting worse and worse. And it takes you out of the occasion. And I think something's got to be looked at here. They've got to start doing things like being quite harsh on time wasting, I think, with the yellow cards. Something's got to be done to make it quicker, because if you watch the games today and throughout the tournament, keep an eye on it, because it is so slow, and it's the antithesis of what football needs to be about.
Yeah,
this level,
it builds the anticipation though, doesn't it?
I like it. I'm a big fan of it.
I like it, yeah.
Honest, we can just do what you guys want to do.
If every free kick ends with Ronaldo knuckling that ball like that, I'm for it. Yeah. I don't care how long it takes. I'd wait half an hour for that.
There we are. Might have to if he carries on playing to the 40.
I'm going to talk about Javi Renard after this.
Ooh.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh, it's goal! It's a brilliant goal by Hadji!
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. Oh, it was gutting for Harvey.
Yeah.
Gutting for Renard.
After a thriller as well.
We needed that spin box on game, yeah. I tell you what.
Have we made enough of the fact that Renard is French for fox?
Ooh, no, we haven't.
I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Harvey Fox.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him on a ferry, a Cunard.
Renard
on a Cunard.
I don't think Morocco. And then listen, they lost 1-0, so they deserve whatever everything they
no
get.
No way they should have lost.
I don't think they should have lost it. No,
they should have got at least a point. I mean, I know they didn't create too much, but the way they started. Mm. They started with an intensity, and you thought, this Morocco side, and Luke, you were talking up
this Morocco side is starting with an intensity.
They are. but we spoke a little bit about Morocco. It's not a bad side, actually. No. And they've
everyone's tips for like dark horses. Well, not everybody's, but you know what I mean?
Well, like, mine, and I've let myself down. but unfortunately, the way the group is, you know, it was a must win for them. Yeah. Mm. They had to win it.
Well, it was certainly a must not lose. And now they are really up against it, because even if they got a point, I mean, it's still highly unlikely, but at least the chances are you're still in the campaign with the three games. You know, you're not out of it after two games, which they may well be now. But yeah, you win that game, maybe nick a point somewhere else or something, but they really are. He sounded a little bit emotional after the game, did Renard, whereas Carlos Queiroz, and rightly so, was absolutely loving it. Iran winning their first match at the Cup since 1998.
Yeah, I think the reason he felt it was so emotional is because as soon as the draw's made months ago, and you know you've got Spain and Portugal, you think the one glimmer of hope in there is that you're playing Iran first.
Yes. Yeah. A team that they know they're better than.
Yeah, and if you win that, you get your confidence up. You know, you've got a chance of maybe nicking a goal here or there against those two other big teams. You think, we've got a chance. Mm. They've got no chance now.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got no chance of going through.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's a real shame for them. And of course, look, I said they've got no chance. There's always a chance.
Very little chance.
Jim and I beat Marcus and Sam on FIFA the other day when we were Panama and they were Germany. So there's always a chance.
There's always a chance.
But you think for your tournament, imagine all the build-up, all the qualification, all the preparation for it essentially to be over after one game, and that goal being a 94th-minute goal. It is gutting. I mean, it's hard to think of another way.
Goal.
Yeah, exactly. An own goal as well.
An unexpected goal.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, certainly. Great show. Uruguay in Group A, they got a late winner from Jimenez, but that was deserved. Mm. A gutting for Egypt, of course, but a lovely pylon celebration.
Oh, it was beautiful.
We want to see a pylon. We want to see one early, and we've got it, Jim.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we've seen a lot of pylons, and they're obviously driven by emotion, but this one was a very athletic pylon. I mean, you wouldn't see a lot of.
Would you
quality.
Call it an Atletico Madrid for pylon?
You wouldn't like to see Oscar Tabárez getting involved.
No.
Well, he tried, didn't he? He was up there with.
He didn't try.
Not in the pylon.
He didn't get up with the intention of thinking, "I'm going to jump on all these players here. I'm 71 years old and walk with a stick."
It'd be the greatest moment in World Cup history if he did.
That is a big shout. But you're right.
But he didn't, so we don't have to make that call.
Uruguay were knocking on the door, weren't they?
And
they
deserved their win.
Cavani hit the post just beforehand.
Oh, what an effort that was. Yeah, and the volley as well, the keeper saved. The Egypt keeper had a good game.
Luis Suarez could not find that door knocker, could he?
He was looking off the pace.
He really was looking off the pace. I mean, you could argue that he perhaps, you know, a younger Suarez would maybe have had three goals in that game.
Yeah,
and it was very surprising.
Some amazing saves in that.
Yeah, they
did not deserve to concede in that match, I believe.
It was Jim, because he had a good season at Barcelona.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a baffling one, but we're all saying it. He looks slightly off the pace, maybe a little overweight, and mobility not perhaps what you'd expect from him. His decision making a little bit slow. Maybe it's just the first game and he's got to settle into it.
But he looks unfit to me though, Jim. He got a decent amount of goals this season. I mean, by anyone else's standards, I mean, he scored what, 30 goals this season? But he looked unfit. He looked like if someone had said, if the narrative building up to Uruguay's tournament was like, is Suarez going to be fit or not? That's exactly the sort of performance you'd have expected.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. So it's curious as to why it happened.
And no, I agree.
And I think maybe. Possibly a bit of confidence, perhaps, because if he had scored that early chance, which Jonathan Pearce gave him, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A lot of people thought it was in. It was one of those Raheem Sterling against Italy goals.
Yeah.
That went so far that the BBC even flashed up goal, though.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
At the time, yeah.
I mean, I
celebrated that for about a minute.
Well, you and I was so like, confused. But lads, it didn't go in. I saw it.
Yeah. You got an eye for it, Mark.
Yeah. The tabloids were furious at Sterling, weren't they, for faking that goal? Deliberately getting our hopes up.
Yeah. I know, it was scumbag.
What do you make of Egypt's situation now out of that? I guess they're going to have to play Mo Salah, aren't they, next?
Well, they're going to have to probably gamble on him, because with Salah, it's not...
His little face. Little face.
It's not nice. Not really a fitness question, perhaps. It is the shoulder okay or not? And so when people say, oh, bring him on last 10, 15, no, if you're still in the game. They were unlucky. Egypt trying to cling on.
They'd have taken a draw, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. God, all day long they'd have taken a draw. They're unlucky not to hold on. When you get to the 89th minute and you're still 0-0, you're always going to feel a bit aggrieved. But there's no point in bringing him on 10, 15 minutes, especially against a team like Uruguay, who like a little bit of rough and tumble. Wimbledon, definitely, and so on and so forth.
Egypt are 11-4 to beat Russia, so £10 with Bet365 returns £37.50, including stake. And that's an intriguing game because we saw Russia be very clinical against Saudi Arabia, who we all agree weren't up to much. Egypt, of course, played far harder opposition. So it'll be good. It'll be very, very good to see how that settles. Who's better and who isn't? Who deserves more? Who gave a better account of themselves? Because sure, although it sounds crazy, because Egypt lost, they looked okay for large parts of it against a good Uruguay team. Whereas Russia didn't have anything in front of them at all, really. Yeah. So it'll be a great leveler to see who's who there.
Well, you'd fancy Uruguay to beat Saudi Arabia next and book their place in the next round. And with regards to Luis Suarez being a little bit off the pace, well, I'll tell you something, you know, Saudi Arabia, get yourself a goal or two there, sudden, you know. But if he doesn't step up, then you look at Cavani and you think there's an absolute beast of a human being that could maybe step into his shoes.
I mean, and you're right, that's a definite positive for them. But they're all thinking, and not least Cavani, thinking, well, if I had Luis Suarez next to me, because on paper they feel quite complimentary, and Cavani's goal scoring record for Uruguay is very good. It's like almost 1-2, and Suarez needs to really essentially take a shit or get off the pot, because if he's not going to be there with him and looking at exactly the race, I mean, it's everything he did was almost, it didn't come off. And I heard Rio Ferdinand talking about how Suarez is one of the most difficult players he came up against because he's just so unpredictable. Yeah. Like he waits for you to make a move and then he'll go past you, or he's one of those players that every ricochet seems to go for him. You know, he's quite an untidy player,
very
isn't
much
he?
So, yeah.
And I think at his best, alongside Cavani, that's potentially, you know, there's not many strike forces there with more potency than them. Mm. But he needs to step up, because based on that against Egypt, where he wasn't really up against amazing defenders. I mean, I quite like Higazi. I think he's good. I think he'll get a move in the summer. But he wasn't really up against what you would say the world's best defenders.
Well,
and they
seem
to keep him pretty quiet, really.
With Suarez, the problem there, and other sides have it, you know, England had it with Rooney at times and so on, is when you have a player like that, you think, well, don't sub him off because it's Suarez. You know, he's still quite likely. Whereas actually they have a couple of people on the bench who could go in there. Do you think, all right, we'll take him out? No, you've got to play him. But the problem is, if he does really kind of stink up the place a bit, then you're stuck with a striker who's not really firing. But it's early days.
And they've won the game, of course.
And they've got goals in the side. I mean, Godin made a couple of lovely runs forward and so on, and got a bit frustrated because his teammates let him down. But they won the game. They won the game indeed. Today's fixtures. There's some lovely firsts going on here. The first time that Argentina will play Iceland. The first time Peru will play Denmark. And the first time that Croatia will play Nigeria, apparently.
Lovely.
I'm surprised at the Croatia-Nigeria one.
Mm. Yeah, you'd expect them to have played, because they appear to be sort of ever-present.
Yeah,
maybe that's the first time
at a tournament, but I'm pretty sure that was what it was.
Well, Nigeria are 17-4 to upset the Croatians tonight. £10 with Bet365 will return £52.50, I beg your pardon, including stake, should they do the business. I think Croatia look very, very good, though.
They could be dark horses.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people will have them down. And the Croatians, they'll want to get off on a winning start, obviously, of course. But they will fancy the top spot in the group. They'll think, you know, if we can get the better of Argentina. I mean, it's an interesting one. Well, Argentina looked pretty confident. Sampaoli named his starting 11 the day before the Iceland match, or maybe even 2 days before.
Yeah,
certainly.
And Marcus, they're a really interesting side, purely because, and hopefully listeners will agree, that you get a combination of players that you know everything about, like Di Maria, Messi, Aguero, Mascherano, Caballero, Otamendi, and you get a sprinkle in Argentinian football that you haven't seen much. Tagliafico, I haven't seen much of. Salvio, Max Meza's playing. I don't think I've ever seen him play.
Max Meza, he plays for Independiente, so still in Argentina. He's got two caps. I mean, you've got two international caps. Imagine saying, right, what we're going to do, Max, okay, no pressure. We're going to put you in a midfield. You're going to be alongside Messi and Di Maria. If you get a little bit, if you get stuck in trouble, just pass it to one of them, or Aguero's on for the through ball. Yeah. And don't worry about behind you, because Mascherano's cleaning up. I mean, it's not a bad way
Sounds
to start
right,
a tournament, do you know what I mean?
No.
In one sense, the pressure's on, but in another sense, it'll find out what character you are. Because if you can't raise it, or at least be inspired by those people around
you. Well, you say that though, Marcus, but Javier Mascherano will be under an extraordinary amount of pressure today. Because I imagine
he's old.
Chris Coleman will be watching from the stands. The new coach of Hebei China Fortune.
He's got to try and impress him, hasn't he?
Yeah. Big time. You know, listen, school's never out for the pro, right? Every day's a school day. Is he the sort of player that Chris Coleman fancies?
Yeah.
That's going to be in his mind.
That's exactly right.
When he comes up against those Icelandic brutes.
Yes. I predicted a 0-0 a number of months ago. Like I say, though, I'm have backtracked.
I've got a feeling that your teams that we've seen impress in the past, Iceland and Costa Rica particularly, I think they might find it tough this time around.
Yeah. Well, how far in the past do we go back?
Well, because Costa Rica were good in the last tournament and Iceland were good in 2016. That's my point.
All I'm saying is, once upon a time, England impressed.
I think England will find it tough.
So much so, Vicente Del Bosque labels England's favourites for the tournament. This is their moment.
That is mental.
He said a lot of things.
Just to prove
past,
that you can lose your footballing wisdom as you get older.
But I wonder whether Vincent Del Bosque is thinking, I know what the English football fans are like, so I'll just have a little bit of fun. Yeah. I think they'll win it.
I think that's exactly right.
Wait, what newspaper did you say you're from? The Daily Mirror. I think they'll win it.
Peru v Denmark's an interesting one. Mm. A very interesting one, of course, in the same group as France versus Australia.
I'm excited for Peru, and I'm excited to see Christian Eriksen, because I think for Denmark, of course, because I think he's one of those players who, despite everyone knowing who he is and everyone knowing he's great, he's still a bit underrated.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we talked a lot when Liverpool went in for Coutinho. We were saying at the time, why not going in for Eriksen?
Well, it's because he plays for a stupid club.
Troy, that is a fair point, Jim. Yeah, it's absolutely right. Yeah, sorry, that's remiss of me to not.
A muggy little
that.
Club.
We've got a couple of matches where very tall players are going up against very short players. Peru, absolutely tiny compared to the Danish. And
is it going to be an aerial battle?
There's going to be a lot of really important free kicks, I fear.
If you're listening, please do an average height for both those teams.
I don't know. Okay. Paolo Guerrero can get quite high, can't he?
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
Good.
It's because he lives at altitude. That's all he meant.
Yeah,
that's it. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, some of the lengths that the Peruvian fans have been going to get to the tournament, we've been talking about the sort of strange anomaly, or what seems like an anomaly, that there are so many of them there. There was a guy who deliberately put on loads of weight so he could get access to special seating.
Oh, because they've got
selling
the chairs
cars,
for...
just travelling huge distances. Like
people going over in bathtubs.
People leaving their jobs to sort of like take the redundancy. And
love that.
It's brilliant.
Absolutely love that. Brilliant.
I love that because that's proper forward planning.
Yeah.
So you've got a family of four, did you say? I'll tell you what, though.
Got to get there.
You can't put a price on those 3-1-0 defeat memories, can you?
Yeah. <that's... laughs> I do hope they win for those people's sakes, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
The Danish fans clearly have a sense of humour, because according to the BBC, more than 11,000 people signed an online petition to FIFA asking them to delay the World Cup until Nicholas Bentner is fit. Yeah. That wasn't the case. He's not going to be there,
No.
Sadly. So maybe the 1-0 win could be for Peru this time.
Your error will be there. iron up that vanishing spray.
That's right. Where's it gone?
You can't blame me for that one. He's made a line on the floor. What's going on there?
I've got Andreas Cornelius up front, though, Denmark.
And that's a lovely name.
Yeah, and he's a better player than he showed at Cardiff.
Yeah.
He was on loan at Cardiff for a while.
Denmark, have we got Christensen at the back, perhaps? Of course, at the time of recording, France are playing Australia, so we can't really comment on that.
Goalless!
We'll cover that tomorrow.
Exactly.
Unless it stays goalless, then we'll ignore it.
Yeah.
No, we won't, actually, because that would be a surprise for France.
I did a little peek. Australia just had a corner.
Dawson's wicked whispers.
Earlier on, I did notice a free kick taking absolutely ages.
Annoying, Jim, isn't it?
It was the French.
I'll tell you what, they're probably lining it up the whole time we've been in it.
All right, sod this, football's on. Let's get out of it.
Yeah, let's get out of it. Before we move, have we noticed that Cristiano Ronaldo was given a suspended sentence on the day they played Spain?
Yeah.
And it was the Spanish courts that did it, obviously.
Amazing.
It's like that's tomfoolery.
What's the matter with the Spanish authorities at the moment? How are they just trying to disrupt football, even their own stuff?
Surely they know as well as anyone that if you rile Ronaldo, he will punish you.
that's like the level of pettiness of releasing the Premier League fixtures on the big ticket. Arsenal at home to Man City on the opening day. We're watching the World Cup.
Yeah. Carabao Cup update?
Yeah, when's it? I'll
give you a Carabao Cup update tomorrow.
West Brom are playing Mexico in the first round of the Carabao Cup.
Didn't you say Portsmouth are playing Wimbledon? That's what I remember.
They are, Portsmouth. Yeah. You happy about that, Pomba, getting a mench during the World Cup?
I can't even think about them. Do you know what? I went to Fratton Park a few times last season, and the level of football when you see Portugal,
we're still
Spain,
talking about them.
Yeah, no, but honestly, you watch Portugal Spain, and you could say if an extraterrestrial came down to this planet and never seen football before, I could make a decent argument that game at Fratton Park that Portsmouth lost under Shrewsbury, it was a different sport to Portugal Spain.
Did Saudi Arabia make you feel homesick?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I think I saw Portsmouth director of scouting in the crowd.
I'll tell you what, though, one of the members of the Saudi Arabian government said that three players are going to be punished on their return.
Watch that space.
Yeah,
there you go.
Dear me.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they should be.
Well, it depends poor. How severe the punishment
true.
Is. If it's like you're not playing in the next home,
well, it might just be extra training or something.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so.
Do a few more laps.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure.
We will be back tomorrow, of course, at around the same time, because the football never, well, it does end, but not just yet.
No. Yeah, but we're engulfed by it. It feels like it'll never end. This is it. It's like when you're at a festival and you're having a lovely time, and you think, this is it, and then Monday morning comes, and you go, oh, yeah, reality.
More Mystic Marcus tomorrow, perhaps?
Yeah. Well, if he gets it right. No, semi-final. We won't know until the semi-final, if indeed he is mystic or not.
How else are we going to have a Marcus in there, just with you?
Well, I'm there, Rashford.
Oh,
well,
yeah, then
he Rashford. Might feature.
A lot of Marki, actually, knocking around.
Yeah, I'm sure the other some other sides have got some.
No Danish Marcuses, sadly.
That is a shame. Sweden have got one.
Have they? Good. Okay.
I'm pretty sure. If they don't, they should.
Denmark have got, he didn't make the squad, but Denmark have got an international player called Mike. Enjoy that.
There we are. Yeah. All right. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Again, thank you for listening to this. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Cheers, I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Petey.
Enjoy the football.
Thanks from me. And of course, it's goodbye from London Town. London, goodbye. London, the shy, yes, there's true joy. London, goodbye. London, the shy, but I'm done.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.